all know, the church has been burned out in a fire. There's not much really left you can do with it. We're going to revitalize the front part of the church, as I said, and we're very excited about it. We think this is going to be a great project for your district, for District 1, and for your ANC area. As Jack said, it's right here on 16th Street, so it has a very prominent location on 16th Street. We want to preserve that facade. Tom will explain a little bit about how we're going to build the condominiums behind to the side of the church, respecting the historic structure. Our company is a local family-owned company. The Pseudo Homes is probably the smallest part of our company. We manage a great deal number of apartment homes, development apartment communities, and Pseudo Homes does townhomes and condominiums primarily for sale. And the closest project that we did is on Belmont Street here in Ward 1. If you're familiar with the Fedora community we developed several years ago on Belmont Street, seems to have done a good job in that part. So with that, I'll turn it over to Tom and talk a little bit about our design.
I did bring a...
if you got it on a thumb drive.
Yeah, maybe that's what we ought to do.
Is that part of the question? Sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
I forgot to say, also on the President 3145 on Crescent Street in an association, the building was burning behind to the church. Can you send to me in this information, but we don't know nothing about. We tried to help, you know, the insurance company for the church. We were trying to testify in favor of the church, but I want to know what it is. I want to take information from this one, please. Thank you. Thank you, my business card.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Hey, how about, what do you think?
You want to use the computer? Yeah. I'm thinking that just because it's a little dark in here.
So, stand here if you like. Or hit the wall switch here if you like that.
Constellation of churches, as you all know, is going up 16th Street, and starting at the White House is
know you have a long evening, so I have to hear. It's really just wanted to kind of show you a little bit about what we were doing. This views. The view right here, in terms of meeting with preservation, is the view that we were establishing a lot of the design decisions at the corner of 16th and Lamont. And and it's a view that we're going to keep going back to as we show you where the design is emerging from. This is the night of the fire.
Yeah.
And the fire sort of jumps from the Deauville up to the roof form. This is the sanctuary itself and the condition that it's in. There's not a lot left in there to be quite honest. See the two pieces of the building? This is the piece that we're proposing to remove. We're saving all the limestone walls. There is this vocabulary of stained glass windows. We've said they're not original, but we still are going to treat them very carefully. We may be able to reuse some of them on site, but that they will be treated archivally. Here's the separation of the north side, which is one of the tightest areas to the neighbors. One thing we did is some people find this sort of interesting. We went in with lasers and we scanned the building. And we have incredibly accurate drawings now of what the building is, as well as the condition of all the various elements. This is the floor plan existing. This is the part of the building that we want to maintain. This is the part that we would be removing. The green is the site. And I just wrote a couple things, how tight the building is to the rear portion of the site now. There is this area on this side that's fairly open. It's fairly tight on this side as well. Just more demolition pictures and start to see the form of the building. This is the first of the design drawings. What you see in black are the existing walls. This is the lower level. We can think of the main level as being one floor up. And this is the basic footprint of new construction. And it's a building that's sort of wraps around. We're about 15 feet off of the rear site. On the rear property line, we're on the property line on this side, and then we are in this latter portion that's where there's some space between us and the building to the north. Actually, I want to go back, and I'll talk about this. In terms of parking, we're providing 56 new units in the current design, and we have 36 parking spaces. And some of it is accomplished. It's a fairly small parking footprint, and it's done through parking machines. We're doing some studies now to see if we can up that by about another 10 parking spots. The goal would be to have about a 1-to-1 ratio. Right now, it's a little bit better than 1-to-2. And without going through all of the floor plans, you sort of see the idea that there's some relief on the latter portion of the site. There's a corridor that separates us from the old church. And it changes from floor to floor, but that's the basic concept as we walk through the building. We're using every aspect or every piece of the church for multifamily as well. So roof forms get above the building. And this is an idea about the mass. And I won't spend a lot of time on this because it's been developed a bit since then. But it's sort of the elevational view. Actually, if you go back to the previous one, this is the section. This line right here is the line of the existing building that we would look at moving. So I think when I show this, because what we're trying to do is see in that this is the new tower construction, we actually have a little bit more relief. This is the Deauville. This is the property line. And we get up to about 25 feet or so between the back of this building and the back of the existing new building, or the footprint of the new building. This is the parking machine that I referred to, where one will be driving in, park the car, and let's say sort of a three-stacker type of an arrangement. It's one way we get up to these efficiencies that we're trying to get to. Sections. There's the ramp I was referring to. We've done sightline studies, and we feel like you're going to, as one gets further and further away, you see more and more. more, that you see very little of the top of the tower, even when we're well across the street. It's more of the same concept. The red is the visible portion. I think at this point we're about 300 feet away. And these are some ideas about what the building might look like. This being the church, this being the new tower, and the face of it on 16th Street, or actually on 15th Place here. And it reads as a, we're trying to make it read as a bay, just a bay like many of the other apartment buildings. And with the rear portion of it being treated in a different way, and such that we, it kind of breaks down the scale. And we have this piece of the apartment building on the street. This is actually the back of the double loaded corridor. And again, trying to break down the scale by breaking down the pieces. This is as it looks today, but this is the view that we've been trying to focus on. You don't see those steps behind this reservation. It would be nice to do something with it where you understand the entire building, but this is as it looks today. Here's how high these steps are. It's virtually one level up. And this, again, looking at that same view, this is kind of where we were a week or so ago. We've been with the historic reservation a number of times. And I think the next view is showing where I think they would like to see the building. The back actually looks a little bit more like the back of a building on Mount Pleasant. It's a very elegantly detailed openings in a punch wall or a brick wall. And with this building, this front piece reads almost as its own structure. And it's a building of its time. It's a modern steel and glass and concrete type of a structure. But proportionally, it has a lot to do with the bays of these other buildings that we have along the street. And I think that's it. That's it. And that's kind of where we are. We're still very much in development, but we think we have a concept of how the building lays out on the site and its relationship to the church. Just to lead you along a little bit, one of the biggest issues from preservation has been the height of the building and the height of this building. And this building shouldn't be any higher than the flanking building here. And the legacy is as little of this building as we possibly can, but it doesn't. It doesn't sit over the roof of the church, and we're getting happier with the relationships. That's kind of where we are. This is sort of our little primer introduction to this project.
Faye, would you like to?
Well, I ended up with Tom and Chuck and Art. I always want to do that for some reason. And then another. It was just two of them. I can't remember. And I mean, we're very pleased with the you know, the opening salvo, if you will. We think that it's you know, it's a difficult project, but it's been approached very sensitively. And you've developed since we talked to you last week. But our initial reaction was you know, we were concerned about the back wing of the Daffodil, as Tom was saying. And I think this is a very good start. The south wing, I mean, it fits in there very nicely. We don't have any concern about that. And we're happy to be talking with them and with the historic reservation, see how this develops. I think it's important to get some guidance from HPRB about height, you know, put any parameters on this project to know that sooner rather than later. But of course, Tim has the staff person for historic preservation knows his board pretty well, and he's not working individually. They also consult a lot of the staff guys, so I think we have a high level of confidence in the general guidance that Tim is giving to Tom and the rest of the design team. So we're very pleased with the initial. Presentation.
We will continue to design it and continue to work with both the community and with historic preservation. I think we've gone a little further than we would typically be at concept level, but we kind of felt like what the building actually looks like and what it's made of is equally important to the massing at this point. And I'm sorry, you're going to ask
We tried to stop to the library because we need the alley behind to the buildings. I don't see nothing, you know, behind to the church because, you know, there is, in 3 years, three fire. Our building was the big fire, but there is another building, 16th Street, you know, the red building, and there is three people's died in the building. This is we need, you know, the space for the fire department so can come. But this is the reason, in my building, we lose everything because the fire department can't go into it, behind to the buildings.
We understand that. We've come to understand a little bit late in the game. I don't think, in terms of what the building looks like from the front, it would change if we were to try to accommodate that. But we have been looking at studies of what would happen if we moved off of our property line a little bit. You know, it's sort of working. We either have parking, we have the fire lane, and we're just trying to find a balance for how that might work. Again, I think from you know, the view from 16th Street, I don't think it's going to change that much because this wall will never go beyond the back of where the existing building is. I think the real question is, are we able to kind of, what are we able to do at the ground to be able to give back enough space to you know, contribute to a public alley? I just don't know what we can do. I like to think we can continue to work with you all on it, but it is sort of it's a new idea for us.
Yeah, but you know, we buy the building now that they're an association. We try to work it for the fire line because it's better for the whole community and Block 31. You know, but then we think about the people.
No, these are concerns. We can talk about this a lot, and I think we will, but we hear what you're saying.
I think I have a question just about the street level articulation. It looks like there's a new plan, and the plans for green is okay.
I think part of it is
our plans to make the building green in any way, and then second, it doesn't appear to be any, but just confirm that there's no street level articulation to increase pedestrian traffic and make this stretch of the 16th Street feel and look safer.
Well, okay, let me try to take them one at a time. So we're not seeing the big steps in the doors because this view is sort of behind the mound out here. But we have wanted to preserve, it'll continue to have, the way one gets into the building will be to use the monumental steps that we have. And obviously, it would be better lighted and better wayfinding signage and that sort of thing. We saw that as a big idea. And from a preservation point of view, we're trying, in a actually very disciplined way, not to confuse that kind of reading. We will offer elevations and kind of get into a lot more detail about this as we develop them. And we certainly want the pedestrian experience to be very friendly. This is the access to the parking garage sort of underneath that building, but you know, there's a vocabulary of ironwork fences, all kind of a pedestrian scale. I think we'll probably look holding on to quite a bit of that. In terms of sustainability issues, it will be designed to achieve the silver status. But at this point in time, I think a lot of our energies have been focused on this, how big is it, you know, what does it look like? You know, in terms of we haven't even really engaged a mechanical engineer at this point, which is a big part of sustainability for green goals. But it's, I think every building that we've done in the last 2 or 3 years is green has been a very important part of it. I think the next time we meet, not in 2 weeks, but as we continue to meet with Paul, we can enjoy that conversation, showing some of the things that we try to do.
And just as a follow up, the price point of a unit, the price range for your units?
Actually, if we talk about the price, I Sure. Mark has a brochure for you, I'm sure.
No, well, I haven't developed the brochures quite yet. the prices will be, you know, we have some inclusionary zoning units, so obviously they're going to be priced where they're required to be priced, but most of the project are market rate units that will be priced in the, I think, around 300 to 400. Probably starting around in the high twos, to the low threes, up to 400.
Also maxing out at four?
Maxing out what?
At four, maxing out in the fours?
I think so. Yeah.
Most of the units are one, I guess some two bedroom. One bedroom units are make up the vast majority of the composition.
Do you have any kind of time frame for these?
Well, we are going to the Preservation Review Board later this month, at least for concept. And at that point, I think we're probably, well, you have some parameters about when you want to start construction and all that.
We'd like to try and get through our approval process by the end of the year. It may go a few months into next year, which would allow us to start in the spring, summer of next year.
Anybody else with?
Where is that Preservation Review meeting?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry.
The Preservation Review meeting, where is that?
It'll be at the 1 Judiciary Square, whatever the address is, 4th and 4th Street.
Thursday.
I think it's the 28th this month.
28th of July.
Yes.
And then we'll be back here on the 19th.
Okay.
We don't want to make you sit through the whole thing over again, but we sort of.
The question could be, do you really need anything from the ANC? Because if the Historic Mount Pleasant is on board with it, what are we going to do? We're not going to object if they made it happen with it. Right?
Right. No, but, if you're happy with what the staff, and you're working closely with the staff now, and so there's not going to be much daylight between you and the staff going into the hearing. But we can, express our general interest and get support of the project going forward.
You should just let us know if there are difficult issues that come up where we might swing back one way or the other. Okay. Personally, I really am eager to see this redeveloped in a very unfortunate situation, having that beautiful church sitting here a ruin. And I'd like to see productive property, producing taxes for the city, and adding population to Mount Pleasant. I think this is beneficial to the city and Mount Pleasant.
That we are within the height of the FAR, I would probably really ask them for a rear yard variance.
Okay, when you go to BZA, that's when we really get close.
Yes.
Or that's where we're much more concerned than with HPRB.
Right. No, we wanted to let you all know that we will be coming back and discussing that just with the Historic Preservation Review Board with zoning. And in fact, the Historic Preservation Review Board is encouraging you to step back and keep away from the existing building. And then, so that pushes building additions to the back. And then, of course, the zoning saying, well, you need to have a rear yard setback. And so there's that tension.
Yeah,
But the required rear yard setback is 15 feet.
Well, it's 15 feet minimum.
15 minimum, and you've got right now 10.
What we have is two different pieces where the garage is almost to a space on line. Okay? In the rear?
Right.
But that only goes up about 10 or 12 feet. But then we set back 15 feet above that to where the main wall of the building is. Right? And so then the question is, all right, maybe if you push back, then how do you get the garage to work by the end? How many parking spaces do you have?
And your question.
That's what you need to set back the variance for that garage portion.
That's correct. And then we also have to do a computation as to how it affects the rear.
So I have a follow-up question, just to be sure I understand. So it's a, there's a setback variance for this, for the addition parking lift, right?
Yes.
Which means that that part of the building is actually setting back further outside of the property line, or?
It's right. No, it's on the property line. If you look at the drawings to the left, that shows where the existing building is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have substantially more setback than the existing building, mm-hmm, as it is vis-a-vis the property line.
Okay, so then absolutely no fire lane behind the building.
That's not the way that it's designed right now, because there's not a way to get through it.
Okay.
But right, there's going to be a lot more separation between where the Doughville was and where this building is, vis-a-vis what used to be here, what historically was there. So.
And I know that these are slightly separate issues, but I'm just highlighting it only because I know that this A&T has fought so incredibly hard against the library to have a fire lane behind one of the buildings. But this year is against one of the buildings where there actually was a fire, and there's no lane. So I'm just highlighting that, you know, I'm just wondering, okay, as an A&T, highlighting this so that we can think about whether we intend to treat this situation differently than we are treating it with the library. So I'm just putting that question out there rhetorically.
Well, I understand that the library and I will be back to seek a variance and even though be successful about with BZA. Mm-hmm. And I know what was done before was from a process standpoint, should there have been a variance requested. Right? That was what the appeal was. And in our situation, we're not debating whether or not we need to vary our variance. We need to vary our variance. And then the question is, how is that dealt with in the process?
In the next, the Mount Pleasant Representative of the Historic Preservation Office says that you only need to vary variance.
Yes. Yes, that's what I said.
Okay.
I think our concern on this issue is access to the rear by fire department personnel. Not trucks, it's not going to be trouble. But we want to have some access to the somebody who has the hoses. I think you think that for your own building you would like to have access.
I think we believe that we are in compliance with the fire code with respect to the building code as it relates to my safety for this building.
Oh yes. I guess we would like to sort of see plan for how fires are defunct from the rear.
Right.
Understood.
The International Fire Code, Appendix A, recommends 20 feet. And the fire marshal told us in meetings that that's what he would prefer, of course, more the better, and they absolutely need 12 feet.
Well, we will make sure that we're in compliance with the fire.
But when you come to the variance, then it's up to us.
No,
that's where we, that's our problem. For those who don't know, that's Greg. This is Laura, our other two commissioners. We have now five of the six commissioners here.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to highlight that and just kind of raise that. Just it helps me think through the things, and since it's an informal meeting for people who are watching, maybe it helps them too. But I just know that right now, you know, we may need to consider a resolution to oppose the variance that the library is seeking. So in my mind, I'm just trying to square that with why would we oppose the library's variance, but then support her variance when the issue is essentially the same access to the back for. For fire emergencies.
Well, that we'll just look for some of our access plan is.
Yes.
What you may find is these are serious issues where Mount Pleasant and many of the other areas around us have consistently voted essentially unanimously against the library building for many of these reasons. So this is a topic of great importance, as you might expect, when we've had so many deaths, so many serious injuries, and so much damage because of inability to deal with the emergencies that are nearby. Therefore, you will find us. And of course, there are historic issues that Timothy May told me about. It says that he believes some substantial problems and issues to deal with there.
We'll make sure to coordinate with Tim because we have not, we haven't heard it quite that way. We'll make sure to talk to him also.
Okay, thank you all for the opportunity to come in. And we will see some of you at least later this month, and you'll probably be developed a little bit beyond what you're seeing tonight. It's a nice one. I almost put it in my pocket.
Thank you all for letting us come here and make the presentations.
Second,
I'm going to
I didn't say anything.
Okay.
That's it.
I just have a friendly address.
Thank you. Let's turn around so that we're facing this way.
This one.
So that's the auto.
The way of the formal.
It's very hard to hear you, Jen.
I don't like to operate as a Lone Ranger. I operate with
lots of discussions with other people. And ordinarily, I send out lots of emails about what I'm doing. So would it be, I mean, the way to alter my behavior is in a meeting. And we can hold a meeting almost any time to discuss this.
Correct.
Yes.
I would suggest, first of all, that you say arguing concerning the application rather than against the application, so we're not prejudging this.
Fine.
Make it neutral.
I accept
secondly,
that.
Secondly, I would say anything you do, any testimony you present at the BCA, obviously has to be consistent with AMC resolutions.
Yes.
And I'm anticipating that there will be a special meeting and we will pass a resolution which will define your parameters.
Yes.
That's better. I think that we're getting there. I'm curious to hear what other commissioners
think. Well, I'm reading it.
I said I think that that's better, your suggestion, Jack, and I'm interested to hear what the other commissioners think as well.
I personally would like to see the language you just shared in the resolution, and I tend to feel the same way as how China's articulating that. For me personally, receiving a report after something has been done doesn't allow me the opportunity to have a voice in the actions that were pursued on behalf of this ANC. So that's why your suggested language associated with reporting out is less favorable to me than something that says if there are major decisions to be taken, it comes back to the ANC.
Okay. But I also, sus ponte, I think is legal terms, I'm trying to learn these things. On my own, I suggested that I had already polled enough commissioners to hold a meeting, an emergency meeting, a special meeting on next Wednesday. Unless we can do it next Tuesday. Is that 7 days?
I think I don't think we should be held to the 7 days. I know that the BZA specifies 7 days, but I'm also certain that they would accept our testimony even if it isn't there 7 days ahead of time. What I would suggest is that, well, first of all, we're changing things to concerning, and that we add at the end of the parentheses, consistent with pertinent agency resolutions.
Good. And how about prior? And that's okay. We also had the case that was presented extensively before.
And what about situations where there's a question posed where we haven't actually passed a resolution to guide the opinions being presented?
Let me see if I can answer that. I guess I may have it here. I scan and process and make copies of the DC code. And people may be interested. This was submitted before, and I think everybody has seen it. But it says that, in fact, an ANC commissioner presenting the report may explain the points, but cannot add new points.
It's a very difficult situation where you're representing the ANC and you really have to be defined, you have to have your position limited by what the ANC is reaching. You're really trying to speak for the ANC, not for yourself. Mm-hmm. And we're all aware of the difficulty of
I mean, that's the requirement of the BZA.
That's sort of the spirit of the commission. If you represent the commission, you represent the commission.
So by law, the entirety of the BCA and their general counsel and anyone there and the opposition may pop up and say, well, that's not. That should be ruled out of order because it's not within the scope of ANC resolutions.
Which is why it is so important for us to hold a special meeting and agree on a resolution. We don't have anything that directly addresses the BCA issue.
here's my concern. See, for example, I hear what you're saying, but I still would like for us to think more creatively around that language in terms of making sure that the commission has an adequate opportunity to review beforehand major terms and decisions in the case, and here's why. Inevitably, something has come up, such as a gray area, and there hasn't been a specific resolution from this ANC on file to address it. And then I feel pressured at the last moment to adopt a resolution, like at an informal meeting, or, you know, within 2 weeks of when this decision has to be made, because if we don't do it, then something's going to happen. And so I just feel that if we have, if we are more thoughtful about having these decisions come to us in advance, then we're not in a situation where all of a sudden Greg is up late drafting a resolution, he brings it on Tuesday evening that we're seeing for the first time, but the resolution has to be passed that day in order to allow some further action.
And I can think
of a couple of instances in the fact in which that happened. And
yes.
So this is my concern.
The points that are going to be introduced must be presented supposedly a week in advance to the BZA. And so what I am doing here, after getting all kinds of advice one way or the other, is I'm following the advice, including the other two resolutions, of Gottlieb Simon, who's been through a lot of these. And he says that we should pass a rough and ready resolution tonight in case all else fails. We should hold a meeting that is completely legal, one week notice, so we can give notice immediately. We should petition the BCA to accept the amended, replace the earlier article, accept the amended report, which they almost always do. In this case, of course, we're going to have, I believe the library put out a press release saying that they had, somebody said to the library that they've spent $1 million on redesign and legal fees and so on for this. And we've spent like a couple of $1,000. So we were, and so Gottlieb said, given the army against our tiny group, we ought to be very careful, and that's why the resolution also asks the BZA's indulgence or grant us the petition for any change that we might make.
One thing at a time, let's deal with the first resolution and then proceed to the second. I'm wondering, this is an informal meeting, and we do have representatives of the library here. We want to hear from the library representatives concerning the BZA application specifically. How does the BZA application differ from everything that does it before?
Where's the code? Okay, so we're interested.
Does the library have anything to say this time?
I would just say we came to tonight's meeting to answer any questions that the commissioners might have regarding the variance application. We did give our presentation last week on what it was we were requesting. We did today, as the BZA requires, file our pre-statement hearing, and I believe copies of that are made available to the ANC. That was submitted this afternoon that further states our case and our request for a variance.
It was not made available to us.
It just went in today. I'm not sure how easy it does.
It got in 10 minutes before the deadline, before the office closed.
Okay.
And so it was impossible to get a copy.
So what we see this for
tonight.
All right, so we'll make sure we give you, I can even email you a copy right now of what that was in order to get that out even sooner than what possibly the BZA office would. We'll get that out to you, but as we were required to do, we did file our pre-hearing statement on this matter. And again, we're here simply to answer any questions the commissioners or anyone may have regarding the project, of where we stand progress-wise,
have the luxury of a little more time than we often do.
We're going to take a vote on the first resolution and move on to the next.
Can you restate it?
Sorry?
We could restate it.
Okay, yeah, let me read as it now is written. ANC Wendy appoints Greg Edwards to manage his argument for the DC Board of Zoning Adjustment concerning DC Public Library application for a variance, BZA case 18240, consistent with pertinent ANC resolutions. Wendy appropriates up to $2,000 for expenses such as copying costs, incidentals, and engagement of expert witnesses or expert advice, with the proviso that Wendy must approve all expenses before paying reimbursements.
Tony, you know, you reworded it. Jack, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You finish.
I know. Say it one more time. Okay, so with the proviso that Wendy must approve all expenses before paying reimbursements, and then why can't we add similar language after the first sentence? With the proviso that Wendy must approve all, major decisions in the case before. Before Greg represents them.
But I think that's what our special meeting is going to deal with.
Yes.
That's why it's so important to have a special meeting and deal with exactly that question. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because it's big, but I agree.
Yeah. But China also, if I understand correctly, legally he cannot, it's not required language because already legally he cannot represent anything more than what we've already passed.
Right, I'm just not aware that legally this ever stopped anything in the future. So, for example, that's my concern, to be quite honest. Just in the same way that we always add to our, noise, our letters where we allow people to come in and do things in the park, and we restate the law in their letters because we want to remind them that, okay, this is the parameters in which you can do it, the same principle applies.
This is a much more focused arena. With substantial opposition looking for any holes in our case.
I know. I'm just concerned. I don't want to be put in a situation where at the last minute there's something that we have to absolutely approve on this particular day because,
China, I would appreciate your legal advice. Would you like to
start
to participate more in this?
Sure. So, for example, after application for variance, just put comma, provided that Commissioner Edwards brings to the commission for review and approval all major course changes or decisions.
That's fine with me.
Where?
So, provided that Commissioner Edwards brings to the commission.
Where?
Hold on, let me write it down here so you can just see it.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay.
Should note that the BZA hearings are webcast, which means that you can watch Greg and find out if he's sure he's beyond. Been there, done it.
Is there also a buzzer we can just zing?
Speaking of extreme.
Sometimes you've got to use courtroom tactics to highlight issues. And the Supreme Court has ruled on that in saying that anything that does not hinder the course of justice is open so that you can bring the court's attention, because the courts often get their own minds and you have to blast them out of the judge's preconceptions, and you're allowed to do that. But that's tactics, but the content has to be within the parameters, because that's part of the law.
I think the BCA issue here is pretty straightforward. It's a matter of whether there will be a 15-foot opening behind the library or not, because they want to close that up.
So I just said provided that Commissioner Edwards brings to the commission for a timely advance review and approval all major decisions affecting the direction of the case.
How about changes? So I don't have to repeat everything that's already covered.
Sure.
Could you add changes?
Yeah.
Okay, let me make that. Changes instead of decisions?
Yes.
Okay, I got the.
I'm sorry. I'm not
sure. I wish I'd left the projector going because then we could have done this on the screen. So, what we have now. Consistent with pertinent ANC resolutions, provided that Commissioner Edwards brings to the Commission.
Or timely advance review and approval. It's really small. I can rewrite it here at the bottom later.
Okay. Brings to the Commission for timely advance review?
Or for advance review and approval.
For advance review. And for advantage of you and approval of
any changes.
Of any major changes affecting the direction of the case.
Yes. We okay?
That works. Dramatically, I don't think we need to have the camera.
This is essentially for our own use. It's
fine. Yeah, it works. It works.
Okay, do we need it read again or can we proceed?
It's fine. Okay. All right. Well, you go ahead and call the vote. I'm feeling, I may look okay, but I'm full of drugs.
All in favor, raise your hand, please.
One in favor.
Jasmine, Laura, Craig, Jack.
I just see it all.
Okay. Now, your second resolution.
Yeah. I'll leave another copy here.
Is this second resolution necessary? Is this one? Is
well, right? That's very, very good resolution. No. Let's read it first.
Oh,
resolve ANC Monday petitions BZA for a delay of 2 weeks to better prepare its report on BZA case 18240. In the case of DCPL, DC Public Library, was only submitted a few minutes before the deadline, a few hours before this meeting, and needs serious consideration by one of these commissioners.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just confused. Okay. I'm on the same page.
One of the petitioned BCA to consider this resolution has noticed that it intends to be a party in 18240, and if it is not already a party by right, to waive the AIVD.
Thank you.
This resolution being filed 1 day less than the 14 normally required of non-ANC parties. The property is within 1D's area. If BZA denies the petition more time, 1D further petition BZA to allow 1D to submit his report a day or two later than the normal schedule of 7 days in advance of the hearing. I'll second that.
Thank you. All of this was the recommendation of that lead signer. He said you just have to cross your eyes and dot your T's on this. Excuse me, say that like that.
Yeah, specifically, what was it that was submitted only late this afternoon by the DCPL?
The report that Jeff mentioned, which is their case.
Okay, so the DCPL case is the appropriate phrase.
What would you call it?
Is our pre-hearing. It's officially called a pre-hearing statement, which is required 14 days before the meeting.
A pre-hearing statement?
So it's called a pre-hearing statement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't see much controversy to this.
No, I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand this second phrase. Starting with to waive this resolution. I don't really get that.
To waive the lateness of this resolution, how about?
Let's rephrase that a bit. To accept this resolution despite being filed 1 day late.
fine.
And we just need to double the IGA. I just have a comment on this resolution before we call the voting. I'm hoping that that one of the commissioners then that voted for the resolution that we did a couple of weeks ago since we're doing official business would be willing to somehow bring this back up again, because I know that we have an issue where one of us wanted to change our vote because there was some confusion about that. So with the support that we're offering here on this resolution, I'm hoping that someone who voted in favor of not moving Mount Pleasant into 3D. Is it 3D? Yeah. That they would be willing to bring that up. Now, I know that...
So I'm just
putting that out there. So I'm saying that I'm voting in support of this.
Okay,
this
sure.
The collegiality, and I'm expecting this.
Okay. Sure. And I've already tried to follow up on
that. Okay.
I called Kim Graham's office today and asked how much time do we have? Because I have, as you perhaps heard, our training and meeting that Jack and Jim put on, I had a lot of extra points that I brought up. And I would like to have a fuller resolution. And I have challenged, I didn't get to speak to Jim, I left him a message asking him to help us with support so that we can get a resolution which we can take superior to court. Because the chief obviously is going to smooth through.
Let's do things in appropriate sequence here.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm working on it.
Yeah. Can we finish this point?
Sure.
Yeah. The next one. Later, please. We can finish this.
But I just wanted you to know.
Okay. That's not as good.
Just a clarification. So aren't we saying the same thing in the third sentence to accept the report one day late?
No, it should be clear. Oh, it is clear that there are different deadlines. Now, I handed out, I think, a copy of this letter from Jameson Weinbaum that says that we've got to do this 14 days, not less than 14 days. And it's going to go in tomorrow, and it'll be 13 days in advance. And I called BCA twice today before it closed to see what could be done. And they promised they would get back to me, but nobody knew for sure. A zoning attorney said that that somewhere in the law, and I just didn't have time to find it, that an ANC in whose area the property lies is a party as a matter of right, and it does not need to apply to be a party, but it does need to get in its report 7 days in advance. So since they were unable to be sure about this, I asked Gottlieb if he knew, and he did not have the legal standing, because there's a lot of myths in the government. You can't go on those things because you'll lose your hearings. So this, Gottlieb said to do this paragraph, just in case.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and pass this because this
yes.
is
yes.
insurance.
But you see, every single step of this requires a lot of homework.
Great, you have already.
Sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Can we take a vote on this one?
Yes. On for a vote.
All in favor? 5-0.
Thank you.
Now, concerning the police redistricting, can we take a minute just to address that? Because there is a hearing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I would like to be able to report that, in retrospect, the commission is unanimously, or at least all five of us here, are in favor of the resolution that was passed objecting to the transfer of Mount Pleasant into the 4th District.
And Jack, to your point, I know that over email we said there couldn't be that the motion to reconsider had to happen only at the same meeting, but there's another commissioner, Commissioner Wilson Reynolds, said it is possible for a motion to reconsider to happen at a subsequent meeting and not
that's,
the same meeting.
So
I know you looked into
order.
It.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah. Not according to ours, which is why I'm raising a new resolution now.
Okay.
Just saying, this is your chance, so
okay.
that I go tomorrow and take a look at the
okay.
Our rules procedure. So that it must be different. And so I would like to add a piece to that, if I may, so that it is...
What did you say?
No. I thought it did. That mm-hmm. you can repass it.
No, we're not repassing the same resolution.
Okay.
We're passing the statement say that in retrospect, these commissioners support that resolution, mm-hmm. despite any votes that took place at that time.
Right.
So it's a new resolution.
That makes sense.
Okay. Lundy observes.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
Okay. We can observe that.
Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Yes. So the way you have it worded, the way you're articulating it, yes, that makes sense to me.
Can I see hands of...
Can I ask you why you're changing your vote? Oh, I think that's actually good. I'm glad you're asking me that. Originally, I voted against this measure because I didn't think that it was appropriate to have the resolution before we had an opportunity to hear from the agency itself and the reasons that they wanted this ANC to be a part of, this 4D. Area to be a part of 4D. And I do think that it's worthwhile to hear an agency's explanations. I think that it's not necessarily collaborative or reasonable to go in with our resolution and our position of saying, we don't care what you say, we've already passed this resolution, this is what our stance is going to be. I don't think that's a collaborative way of doing government. And to have waited one day to hear what the police commissioner said, and even if we had to call a special meeting after that, to me would have been much more appropriate than to try to pass that resolution the night before without having given the agency an opportunity to explain what it wanted to do.
So you heard it and you thought the explanation wasn't meritorious?
Well, I understand. I think that there are things. I think that there are multiple ways to skin a cat, basically. So I don't want to say that what the Metropolitan Police Department said wasn't meritorious, but I do want to say that there's probably another way for them to achieve the same result without it affecting this particular neighborhood, which is so staunchly opposed to it. And as an elected representative, I do believe that I represent the wishes of my single member district, and my single member district is opposed to that, and I need to represent that voice on this ANC. And at the same time, though, I also have to represent integrity and process, which is why I voted against it initially, because I do think that it is integrity and process to hear to hear what the agency has to say before we just go out saying this is our position, we don't care what you have to say, and this is where we are. I don't think that's collaborative.
Let me object to the characterization, because the okay. police position had been published long before. We were the arguments that the police presented in favor of the change were in our hands. So they had presented their case. They just hadn't been there physically to do it in person. So I don't think that's necessary. Laura, are you?
I just wanted to hear what information had changed for her to feel.
Yeah.
Because I abstained from that.
Yes, you abstained.
Yes.
What is your position right now? Because you didn't raise your hand.
No, because I wanted it for us here, which I had to say.
Okay, yeah. Then what is your position now?
Yes, I'll vote in favor of it.
Okay, so my resolution...
No, look, there are two other... I would like to say something to him.
Greg.
She was first.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm working with the police, the 4th District. They say they do not agree. Captain West.
I'm sorry, I can't.
The officer, the police say they don't agree the 4D come back to Mount Pleasant. The police officer, they say, I'm working with these people. They say they don't want it.
The police officers here yeah. want to stay in 3D.
Yeah, the police say, the 4D say, we don't want to come back to Mount Pleasant. We don't want to take the officer for 3D.
I mean, the 4D doesn't want
to. No.
That's
right.
But that's okay, because I think that as the MP's position got fleshed out, which is what had an opportunity to happen.
This is only for the record, you know.
But the Kathy right. said that she was going to keep the same.
Yeah, the Kathy said anyway. Yeah, I know, but what happened to the officer? This is it. I told you the officer. I said, only one is to put in the record. They say, we don't want to come back to Mount Pleasant Street. The 4D Metropolitan Police.
Interesting.
Thank you.
I have a substantial point, and after that I'd like to argue to pass a new resolution with this point in it, and we can then record it as 5-0, a unanimous resolution. That point is that this is premature because the boundary lines of the ANCs are going to be with redrawn in the next couple of months by the redistricting task force.
Except that it's only premature if the MPD plans to delay the shift until after redrawing the lines, which is entirely clear to me.
Well, you're absolutely right, because in Jim Brain's office, I was told that it's probably 2 or 3 months off before they actually conclude it, which means that we could do more. But if we could include that point, then we could pass it unanimously.
But you see, they're already proposing splitting A and C's. So A and C boundaries seem to not to be a matter of importance to the police. But 1A is being divided north and south. So I don't think that's a pertinent point.
Okay.
Then all I want to do right now is
get fine. Let's move forward.
Laura, what's your position now concerning moving to 4D, having heard this discussion?
Yes, I'll vote in favor of the resolution.
So we are all in favor now of affirming our support for the position that Mount Pleasant remain in 3D. That would be very helpful tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes.
So the new plan is clean that back and send out a refresh resolution tomorrow?
Yeah.
You plan to memorialize this.
Oh, yeah. There will be minutes at the end of this meeting.
We're going to.
I've got my voice recorded.
Okay. We testify tomorrow in the hearing in favor of 3D stay.
Everything you do goes in writing.
Yep.
Everything you do goes in writing.
You're excellent about that.
Okay.
Ready.
Now, I would like to, this is, everybody says that just in case, we ought to pass a resolution that states the main points of our case.
This one, I really think, I could you talk to us, just as you're introducing it, just talk about the timing of it, because I honestly, like my inclination is that this is something that should be tabled for later.
Because it would be easy for the BZA to rule that we have to have this in by within 6 days, by the 11th, by 4 p.m. on the 11th.
That's why we're having that other meeting, right?
Actually, yes, but it would need to be in before that time. So the idea is that we have something. I will work strongly to avoid it, but we need something that can go in and hold the place in case. And essentially, everybody that I spoke with said that this is the prudent thing to do. So it may contain things that you don't like, but at least it is something that goes in and something that we could work with.
Okay, I'm confused on the dates. By what date do you need to file, and what is the special meeting?
The special meeting would be on would be 7 days from now, which means that it would be the 13th.
Next Monday.
No, seven days.
Today's the 5th. 7 days from today is the 12th.
No, it has to be one more day.
Okay, I see. Okay.
You need an interval of. Okay. So it would be the 13th.
Okay.
And then if we handed it in, it would be on the 14th, which is only 5 days before the hearing. And they might forgive us one day, but there could be easily substantial opposition to us being given 2 days. So it's a risk. It's a substantial
risk. But we still have time, though, because there's a day, we have a day. I just would like more time to review it and to consider it.
Sure.
I move that we table it and that we consider it at our special meeting.
I second that.
I think that's the appropriate way to go about this. I understand your position, Greg, but I think that's necessary. This is just too much to solve in this hasty manner. And I think we have to bank on their willingness to accept an AMC resolution. 7 days, maybe 6 days ahead of their meeting. This is where they're going to be ahead of time. It is really illegal.
I mean, alternatively, we try to meet prior to next Tuesday or Wednesday, right? And but, no, I mean, maybe we meet, you know, Thursday or whatever, but what I'm just uncomfortable also, I'm guessing, Greg, you worked under duress to get this here in this format, and I'm wondering if you reviewed it later, if you would still keep everything in the same order with all the same content, because as I just glanced through it, it's not immediately understandable.
That's fine.
So I'm guessing you might want more time to rewrite this too, and I would just ask that whenever there's substantive content, that we get it at least 48 hours in advance. I understand that that wasn't possible in this particular case, but yeah, it's just too challenging. I mean, we heard a bunch of stuff at the last meeting about how this alleyway was never actually, or since 1972, has not been open for public fire access, and now they're building a building to spec with lots of internal sprinkler systems, which means it's likely that that would be the starter of the fire. So I just have to think about all of those considerations.
But I saw you were affected by those two arguments, and let me, right now, while they're present, explain why those are red herrings. First, we are not substantially arguing that the library may be the source of the fire. So their sprinklers are beside the point. The real point and the real history is the large numbers of fires that have gone on for a long time, including three major ones and several deaths in the last 3 years in the other buildings, and the rapidity with which fire can leap from one to another. So we have a chance for the whole block to go up based upon real data and real observations. Secondly, the barriers to using that excess route now are trivial. They could be changed with about $15,000 of work. There is an incline and then less than a 3 foot wall, I think, where you fill it over and you wouldn't even have to put concrete there, just sufficient so that a fire truck could move down it. And then there are chain link fences along the way. And there is a report, which I gave you a copy of, which has the detailed arguments about why this is the only way to get in, that the other ways are precluded. So we have learned in the last 3 or 4 years. In fact, during the time that this library issue has been in discussion, that we have a really major threat to life, and it could be huge. Secondly, it is easily remediable so that we could meet the standards of the International Fire Code.
Can I ask this, Greg? If this was something that existed for 30 years and was amenable or fixable with $15,000, why didn't the ANC, since you've been on the ANC for that long, for the last 8 years, try to pass something before the library tried to renovate? And so that was in place then after these fires. I mean, it's been years since the fires.
The earlier fires did not expose the extent of the damage of the possibilities. So the fact is that I will tell you honestly that I simply did not know about that. And indeed, I spent a lot of time, in fact, cooperating with the library to put in fences and barriers along there because it was a criminal corridor where people could be robbed or hit or really seriously or killed, and police were powerless to follow anybody. And so I worked with the police, with the library, with all of the building owners along there to get all those fences put in and to make sure they were high and that they worked. So you're right, there has been a continuing stream of fires, but it's only been recently that the nature of the fires have changed. It's only been recently that we really pay attention to the construction of the buildings and the firebomb potential. in those buildings.
The Deauville fire had resensitized us to this issue. I think we weren't really quite aware of it until the Deauville.
Right.
And then we suddenly realized there's this terrible problem.
Now, I understand that the fire department ran hoses through apartment houses on 60th Street to get to the back of the Deauville fire. Is that correct?
Yes.
Were down the halls through an apartment out the window?
Knocking out their windows.
Well, Jack and Greg, let me just say that regardless of what happens in this library motion, I'm very much expecting the members on this commission who have been voting in favor of this death fight against the library to oppose vehemently the condo renovation to the church. Because there's no alley. It's backed up against the Deauville where the exact fire was. They have no intention of putting an alley. And in fact, they intend to request a variance that goes right up against the property line. And I cannot imagine that as, you know, strongly as you're making these points in the exact location where there actually was a fire, backed up against the Deauville where you know you need an alleyway, that you won't fight that development company tooth and nail in the same way that we're fighting the library. Because otherwise, I'm afraid that it exposes just a really inexplicable, close to hypocrisy. I'm not quite sure what else to call it.
As soon as I found, Stormy and I met with the developers for about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. We both expressed the same point of view. They called to me to ask information, and I tried to bring their attention to these points, saying that not just this ANC, but other ANCs around, and now a very large number of perhaps almost, for a while, it was unanimous of all the civic associations were strongly in favor of maintaining this access route. And they treated me with barely masked civility and discourtesy. So I have been on the case. And I've been prosecuting it, and it is now to the point where it is clear that there's so much money at stake, and their marching orders are here, and they will take...
They were talking about the library or the development company?
They're very similar, but in this case, they need to come up. So your expectations of how a principled person would operate, mm-hmm. I hope I've shown you that before you raise the issue, mm-hmm. that I've already been active and in the fray.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just interested to see how that vote goes with the development company because, I mean, I know I abstained from the last vote in the library, but if we all of a sudden reverse our position and allow that development company to go forward after we've basically, done this to the library, to the city government with taxpayer dollars, that, to me, that would be incredulous.
I object to your use of language as if we're opposing. I don't see my position as opposing the library or opposing mm-hmm. public dollars or public good. I see this completely in alignment with protecting the public good. And so I'd rather see our case framed as this is about the public interest, mm-hmm. and we're weighing two elements of the public interest. We're weighing the additional space that would be used for a library and public meetings and all the things they talked about last week. Mm-hmm. We're weighing the goodwill of development companies and wanting to come and give business to this community. We're weighing all kinds of things against the need for this fire access route and what lives that will save. Mm-hmm. That's how I see our position and our responsibility is to think about public good in a much wider space and not us versus them. And so I'll think about the development company and the condos in the exact same way. Does this balance the public good the way that we're thinking about it? And so I just, as you go into this case, Greg, also, I really hope we think about this. And I appreciated Jack pointing out the wording in that resolution to say, you know, we're not coming in against this. We're coming in support of what we think is the greater public good here. And this is why we think it's the greater public good. We've taken into consideration all of these things. And so I just state that as my position, as I'm still thinking about this, and this new information comes out last week, which was new at least to me, I know it wasn't new to those who have served before, that alleyway wasn't actually used before, you know, and that is something for me to consider, because then it does make it look like we're just going against the library.
No.
And so that's why, I do mean none of this, because the process has been painful, and we caused the libraries to spend a lot of dollars. negotiating with us, where in the companies where it hasn't been collaborative, whose fault it's been, whatever, it doesn't matter, that's not even an issue. But a lot of money has been spent here that theoretically should not have been necessary, and it has been painful, and it is played out in the media, it is played out in the agency level, and it is played out in our agency meetings, and we are still fighting it. So I do mean this, and especially if we go and we support the development corporation where we couldn't come together in a collaborative way with our library when they're our sister agency to us. I mean, to the ANC, that is, to the Office of the Advisory Neighborhood Commissions. So I'm just emphasizing that here, you know, there's an issue. And I'm not saying that I support one thing or don't support thing and support another thing in the context of this argument. I'm just saying that whatever we do, as an ANC, it should be principled. As an ANC, it should be consistent.
I would like to answer her because it was also directed to me, and I'll try to make it short. I've been thinking about compromises with the library. I've twice contacted Archie so that I could talk with him about what? Well, there was another meeting when we were talking at the before the Superior Court, where but anyway. You hear it now, that because I think there are ways to pull this out, and I've talked to enough zoning people and attorneys, including not in D.C., and they said, in the end result, when so much money has gone into a building like this, that is where you know they've pulled ahead, and finally public opinion has caught up with them. The thing to do is not give in to your anger at the arrogance of an agency that's going to go ahead with and damn everybody else. The idea is to transcend that and try to find a compromise. And I believe there are compromises here that would preserve the majority of the library's investment so far and the majority of what they're trying to do. And in this case, because they had not approached us with the idea of seeing what they could be done, the idea that they're spending so much money is partially because they have not approached us, and I have been unsuccessful in conveying that we ought to start to talk about that.
Can you pause there for a second? So if you guys hear that, do you agree?
Well, I think it's important to point out that Mr. Abels is one of the,
don't call me
Mr. Abels, one of the first people that we ever contacted when we began the process. As a matter of fact, we approached him to sit on the committee to even select the architecture and design team to begin talking about the library. I think it's important to know that there's been over a dozen meetings on the Mount Pleasant Library in terms of its development, its expansion, and what have you. That's not even counting the other meetings that weren't community meetings, meetings between the grand and what have you. And Commissioner Edwards has been to, I think, each and every one, and Commissioner McKay has been to the vast majority. So I'm saying that engagement, that collaboration has taken place ever since day one of this particular project. I think it's important also to point out that the fire department has taken positions on that courtyard. It's not an easement. It's not an access way. It's all owned by private individuals. And what is being put out is that a fire truck will somehow go through and put batteries up to fight a fire. And that's not what the fire department says. They say they fight fires from the front street. There's a 15, I think it's 15 feet between the two buildings that if emergency crews wanted to go back between the library and the department building, that's still there. So, I mean, a lot of things that really are being said, I don't think really takes into full consideration what the library project is about.
We're back into the fray because I transcribed the entirety of the comments of the fire marshal and the fire chief. And they said, But I have a recording of it and I transcribed it so I can point out to you that how it is easy, I know, to hear things differently. But I have the facts. And it's not that, hey, what your representation. So I think back to Laura's point is that rather than get into the mud and fight over these things once again and rehash them, we should be paying attention to further resolutions. Jack, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, I'll continue to listen.
Well, because, Greg, for me, someone who's still learning about this, this is helpful and important if I'm to come to the next, whatever emergency meeting we have, to discuss this. So I hope you can allow them also to speak since they're here. I mean, this is helpful for me to hear their perspective.
Yes, and I hope we'll, you can also, as you bring up the points, I can bring you the facts, because I have carefully, I've spent a long time carefully documenting this process.
Well, let's get to the core of the matter. What we want is fire access plans. What are we going to do if there's another fire back there? And I don't think it's necessary to say that you've got people with a fire truck in there. I don't think we're assuming that. But I think there should be some access so that at least men can run down back in the buildings with the fire hose. And it can reach the back. This is what I want to see.
Always.
Well, this, and don't cut me off, damn it.
I can't quite.
Okay, you guys behave. Yes. No cussing. Yes. Don't you yell at me. I'm just telling you
all to
behave. I agree with you.
No, but I resent that accusation, the premature accusation of hypocrisy, that if we vote one way on the library, well, we've got to vote the same way on this other, the church's vote. Because I want to see the fire access plans for both.
Great.
Then we will make up our minds on each one. And let's not have these charges that you've got to vote this way or even more.
You see, when they explain asking for the line, they say no. Because parking is paid for access plan.
Can we stick to the subject?
Can I finish this? Everybody has a
Jack was not off.
She's right.
Can I finish? Everybody told me, let me say something because it's my building.
You're right.
It's 3145 Mount Pleasant Street.
Please.
You know, we lose everything in there.
Jack,
do you remember when I asked the question for the people, they say they need the sign to the old parking? Or why? I don't support these people if they don't put the line, but we need emergency line, you know.
Well, that's what we have to focus on. It's emergency access plans for everything back there because it's clearly. I remember.
This is the clarification we need.
Well, I have personal experience of this sort. Because when I was compelled by the city to take down Disease Elm Street, I needed to block an alley for maybe half an hour. And they gave me the third degree. They said I had to go down to a fire emergency and get an emergency access plan because I'm going to block an alley for half an hour. And now all these same people are coming back and saying, hey, it doesn't matter. No. I don't agree with
that. He's already seen that.
Are you saying you're satisfied with the plans that the library has provided?
I have not seen a detail of. I have not seen the fire access plan. The impression has been given that the LA is just going to be built right up to the edge. If somebody should come up with a plan and say, hey, this is how firemen could get in with a hose to reach the back of the village, that would help a great deal.
Because we're not in the business of fighting fires, we're here to build libraries. What we have done is our architects, our engineers, following the building code, have between the library and the park in McConaughey to the south, there is anywhere from 12 to 15 feet of access to the straight back to the rear of the building on that face on the street. So there's a 15 foot access space, 12 to 15 feet between the park company and the library.
I thought you were putting big trees there.
Well, that's not, we're not, or we can't.
Your plan is short trees.
They can be removed, they're not. I mean, that's the very last thing that goes in. But I just want people to understand that we built the library food code. It's been approved by the fire department. If, what I'm asking is if you want a fire access plan, we don't have that professional capability. We have architects and we have mechanical engineers. The best people to come up with that fire access plan would be the fire department, not the library. It's just not our realm of expertise, unfortunately.
This ANC hired
Craig,
a former
Craig. Please let him finish.
Okay, but then he's making points that I think. All of these.
And we will all sit here and yell all night if we all interrupt.
Good.
Now lay off.
So I'm just here to say to be clear that because we are required by code to provide that access and
I've listened to this presentation many times without being able to give a response. So I'd like to give a response here. Number one, we hired the former director of the office in the fire department that made plans for all such buildings. She said that her sources said that the fire department did not go through its normal procedures in this case, and so they did not make any fire study before approving the plans. They were rushed through. Secondly, the reason why the International Fire Code in Appendix A, which DC adopted everything except Appendix A, so the fire department informally asks for Appendix A whenever it can. Big interest supposedly blocked it. Is that you want to have quick access. The code says that you want access within 5 to 7 minutes, depending, and you could not do that the way that the plans are going. The danger in these higher buildings that we've already seen with several deaths is that they do not have fire stairs. They cannot be sprinkled because as soon as you sprinkle them, well, then you break the grandfathering and then you have to redo the whole building, which means huge investments and major changes. Without fire stairs, then, as we've seen in Mount Pleasant, to people's death, and as often happens, people get caught in their apartment at higher stories. And they have no choice then but to die a horrible death in the fire or smoke or jump to their death. And that is the reason why you want a ladder truck to be able to get through to those stories above you can carry portable ladders for it, which won't work beyond about 3 stories at best. We have 8 stories buildings there. And so you want to get that ladder truck.
Has it ever been possible? Before the library construction, has this been possible?
No. Well, it was possible years ago. No, it wasn't because of the concrete barrier that was there. But we did not know of the importance of that until recently.
I actually have a suggestion that I think could be helpful here. Because I know that it's 9 o'clock and this room is hot, and I feel like the commissioners are grumpy. And here's my suggestion. Since we plan to have a special meeting on the resolution that you brought forward today, what it would really be helpful for me is to have Mr. Argena's wonderful team come back, along with representative from the fire department, to help answer some of these questions, so it's not you all, we're constantly put on the spot. And then if we could go into these things more in detail, but I feel like now with this discussion we have a better idea of the questions that we want to ask. And for one, to the point that I've been raising all evening, I feel much better about this commission's commitment to continue to, you know, consider each case in a principled manner and to not, you know, just, you know, I wanted to be sure that we weren't, you know, playing favorites or anything like that. So I feel much more comfortable with that now. But if we could re-raise this discussion at our special meeting with the DCPL here, as well as a representative from the fire department. And I'm happy to reach out, and if Mr. Archie, you don't mind reaching out as well, and then that can help answer some of Laura's questions too, because I feel like without the fire department here, we could go in circles all night.
I oppose that.
Could I also say one other thing? I also hear you, Jeff, I don't know, but Jeff, on saying it's not your company's area of expertise to create a fire plan, but it's in your company's interest to answer the public's questions, and you certainly could contract one out for much less expense than having to redo this section of the building. Right. They've already made the foundation.
And I think over there is an internal fire plan force that sits there. I think when we say the fire plan that you're speaking of, there's a plan to get access to the rear of that Mount Pleasant 16th Street corridor, if I understand what you speak of. I think that's the context that Jeff was addressing. We have a fire plan for construction. Of course, there's a fire plan for the building once it's constructed in terms of safe areas, fire corridors, whatever, sprinklers, whatever.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a huge pain. It's not something you wanted to do. But I also think, like, a company like yours, I would expect that you would hear the public
meeting. Well, you mean an agency, because we're both already are with the library. there's no way we can guarantee that that's what the fire department would do. And that, I mean, that's why I think it's, we're trying to make such a good point that getting the fire marshal or his representative or the fire chief here to hear what they would do. And, you know, we've gone through this exercise once before, and the fire marshal did attend, or the fire chief did attend the meeting, and they reviewed the plans on several occasions. I'm sure we will reach out to them and see if they are willing to come to the special meeting, because that's, you know, that's where the buck stops, you know,
let me tell you why I oppose that, so there are people coming for the opposition right now. We've gone through that exercise, and insiders, including the highest level of the fire department, told me that the political fix was in, that the collegiality between agencies was that they protect each other, that this was part of the then mayor's plan, and a lot of that is continuing. And so the fire marshal and the fire chief were very guarded, but they did actually say things that you had to look at the transcript in order to see that they put in what is needed. And we also hired the specialist, the person that was most specialized in the fire department, to examine these things. And she also said the fix was in from her inside stories. So rather than repeat this political theater, we should get experts to come in that don't have, that are not paid, that these gentlemen are paid to take a position. There are pressures upon agencies and the sense of collegiality.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. But to your point, Greg, so if we could just, I would like to make a motion to adjourn. No, I want to make a motion to close the discussion. Can I do that, Jack? We're not even debating a motion yet, actually. So how do we end it? Give us some counsel.
I'm not asking for some kind of legally qualified professional plan for fire access. I'm just wanting to know what a reasonable person would do. If there's a fire, how can you get to the back of the village, to that corridor, with fire hoses? That shouldn't be that hard to answer. Because on the one hand, we seem to be saying, it's impossible, everything's closed off. On the other hand, they seem to know there is a 12th corridor, and I'm confused. Jack, I would like to see what corridor really exists for individual access with a hose. Jack, would you answer?
It's my concern. I'm going to say something to Guy, it's a long time ago.
And it's an informal meeting anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah. You talk.
I'm kind of new to Woodner, but I'm kind of new to these meetings. There's a lot of facts about here. But it might be helpful to have, rather than adjourn everybody together to come and say this thing again, but to have like a simple email and see something that is just transcribed or a response in a format that everybody could read from the fire department. So that somebody, whoever's responsible for bringing these people in, if in case there were a fire, to say, yes, this is a legitimate plan, follow the code, and this is how we do it. I don't think that would be responsible for it from the library. They're not the experts in the department. But having somebody come in to see something and then judge it on that. I know there's been a lot of other experts that have come in, and maybe this is already there, but at least to use that. Because I feel like that's investing a lot of time here, and I think making more redundancy is only complicating the issue.
You raise an important point. And it's something that should be answered. And this was one of the cruxes of the last legal fight that we had with the library. Their lawyers argued that so long as they checked off all the individual boxes, they did not have to pay attention to the intents of the zoning code, which was to protect the larger health and safety. So the idea is that in addition to, or perhaps more than, any of the specific issues of the building code or of the zoning code, you have to step back and look at the overall impact on the bigger issues. So the statement that, well, we checked off the boxes, does not really answer the issue of larger threats. Now, I'd like to specifically answer Jack's point, which is that fire hoses does not rescue the hundreds of people that live in the upper stories. The only thing that can do that is fire. Excuse me, Archie.
Can you finish?
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
The only thing that can do that, and the reason that our consultants said
that we needed to address if there were any other way that fire trucks can get through. And in the documents that we handed out tonight, and have been handed out before, it shows that there's only one route for a ladder truck to use, because most of the deaths are going to occur in these upper stories of these older buildings where people get trapped.
Hey, Greg, let me ask a quick question. And I beg your indulgence, because I know that you and Jack and Yasmin especially have fought this for a really long time and are deeply immersed in the issues. I think Laura and I are really new to it. I'm not quite so cynical yet. For me, it is helpful to hear from the fire department. And even though I know I've been attending these meetings for the year, for the past year, I don't think we've had a fire chief at one of the meetings in the past year, because I've been attending for the past year. So is it okay then, what do you, the other commissioners think? Just for maybe me, I can send some questions that I have, naive questions that I have, over to Laura. And I don't know if Laura would want to add any questions to it, but we could, to follow up on our neighbor's suggestion, send those over to the fire department, see if they would be willing to, you know, provide us some helpful information ahead of time, and then maybe also they'd still be willing to come out to the meeting. And I know that you'll have lots to say, and that historical perspective is so hugely important. So if you feel like someone's trying to pull the wool over our eyes or say something that's not accurate, you can just jump in and say, you know, what your, the truth is from your perspective. But I really do think that it would be a good idea to continue this discussion at that special meeting with those other
may
people.
May I ask that newcomers do their homework and not drag everybody else through it?
Yes.
So that...
That's a good idea. We're on the same page.
Okay. So that you and Maura...
Yep.
Not only are welcome, I think you bear a responsibility to go out and to get the facts. And let me loan that to you.
Okay.
It's got to be updated, because there have been several more deaths since that was put together.
Okay.
But be careful, because it cost $150, $200 just to manufacture that one copy.
Okay. I also like this.
So can you do that? Because the rest of us have been through this for years, and we've heard all this, and I think it does us a disservice. And then when you hear things, then we have a chance to talk about it rather than have a mud fight in one of these meetings.
I agree with you, and I think Yasmin is also about to make a motion to adjourn.
When you told us something about inviting the fire department, I'm sorry, I don't trust the fire department, because we stay pending what meeting with the chief of our department like 6 months ago. They don't respond to us. And this is one point. Another point is, when they explained that there is a space for one man going inside, excuse me, but this is Latino people's life. It's no white, no black, I don't know if this is the problem, because this is my people say. What happened with the community, the white community or some community don't like the Latinos stay here because it's Latino people's life. This is not my point, it's the my people's point. But because I explained to her, if there is a space before, for one truck, the church never was burning, because this is one wall to go there. But we don't have a space for the truck. You see, the big fire, this one may go inside, it's burning. We need a space for the fire department trucks in there. Because, you know, this is three buildings has the problem, the fire. And there is three people. One little girl, her mom, and other people. It's not in my building. The people's there is another building that they last year. But if there is the fire department in there, nobody's died. Nobody lost anything. You know, this is we need, because there is, and unfortunately in the Block 31 is 80% Latin people living there. And just, no, this is, but honestly, my people say it's not me. But you know what? But we never receive any information from anybody. And this is the point. We need the space for fire department, because, and the church or all buildings need something happen. You know, evacuation. What happened with the fires in the front? When can the people, where the people can go for evacuation or something like that?
Also, I'd like to point out, there are many examples where the fire department was not forthcoming.
Greg, I don't disagree.
Yes. I mean, excuse me.
I can give you lots of examples.
Greg,
the lady wants to
I mean, I'd like to, not from this ANC, but I've been an ANC commissioner from the very beginning, and both in Ward 2 and Ward 3. And if I were sitting where you would, there was, and I don't know about the site, I'm just a total spectator on this, I would want to get someone from like the National Fire Academy, which I think is like out of Montgomery County. I mean, there are national fire standards organizations, I think, in the city or this area.
In Maryville.
And I would want to take them on a site visit. I don't want to just have them at a meeting. I would want to go down to the site and have them look at the access, look at what the ramifications are. And one issue you haven't even discussed at all, which has been a horrible one in Wards 2 and 3, is fire hydrants. Where are they located? What condition are they in? How powerful is the water flow at those places? Is the water flow such that you've got the hose coming through that 15-foot gap or whatever enough to handle the kind of fire that could happen on the rest of that block? I mean, I have no idea where they're located, but those are the kinds of things that if I were a commissioner, I would want to look at, and I would want to look at it on the site or with someone who is an independent expert who could say, what are all the ramifications and what are the possibilities for making a good fire access plan. And they may see, looking at it totally different as a neutral party, see things that everybody looking at it before have about ways that you can make it work or what are other alternatives. But I just throw that out as a suggestion because I think there are ways to resolve this and there are problems when it's all inside the government and people have different interests.
Ma'am, you make excellent points about getting outside experts. I have been a consultant to the National Fire Center, the Federal Fire Center, which is the only one that studies these things. On the issue of the fire hydrants, this ANC has passed a resolution asking that construction not go further until all the fire hydrants have been checked. So we are, what you would do as a commissioner is entirely natural. And it's the kind of thing that we, in fact, have done.
Okay. Let me point out the background of this is that the fire chief said, don't worry, everything is fine. And I don't trust the experts. I don't trust the experts. And I really want something that makes sense to me. I don't want to get into some battle about these experts versus those experts versus whatever. I want to see something that makes sense to me. Now, I understand, Greg, your point about getting a fire truck in there, but I'm not sure that a ladder truck is ever going to get into that corner.
Yes, it
is. Greg, blocking. I would love to see a plan that says, here are the hydrants, here's where you can run hoses, here's where you can reach the back of the building and get water in the back of the fire. That's what I'd love to see.
We have a report that specifies how they would get in.
Okay, hey, Greg, so now what's the game plan? Are we ending our meeting tonight? It's hot in here. Everybody's grumpy and snapping at each other. This is the end. Oh, and I'm you, everybody in here.
Yeah,
I make a motion that we adjourn, but I make a motion, though, that we follow up, that Laura and I do our own homework. I mean, not a motion, but I mean, Laura and I can do our own homework for you, Greg. And then we can also have the fire people come back. And then if somebody wants to reach out to the National Fire Academy, I think that's a good idea. But
I ask that we not go through the political theater we've done before.
Yes,
because we've had two dozen meetings. Big meetings in which we've gone through this, and we've accumulated a lot of documentation.
Okay, all right. May I call you when we work on
that one? The last comment, please.
Yes.
And Jack, especially I don't talk to the fire department because we never received what happened with my building, what happened, how the everything started in the investigation. We never have nothing. This is 3 years ago and 2 months. We never seen nothing.
I got it, but it's from an inside source.
Let me finish. But everything is political. If the people move from here, this is not political thing. This is the community problems.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is why we had to make our own best judgment with the evidence at hand.
Thank you.
And the fire department has not given us, despite our many requests, reports on a lot of the other fires. They just clam up, and they refuse to give us. They are not trustworthy. They're not collegial.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Okay.
Let's go. All right.